Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another A Convo with Mo episode. It's your girl Mo Diggs, and I am here with, of course, the hottest of the hottest of the hottest of tea. But today, we got an old guest. What we gonna call you?
I'm an OG.
You an OG to this thing.
I'm a Mo OG.
You an OG to this thing. And we got Donye Taylor here, y'all.
Yes, hello.
Donye, say what's up to the folk, yo.
What's up, y'all? It's been a really long time since I've been back, but I'm excited to be back. Mo was my first ever podcast, and I loved it so much, so I'm so happy to be here again with you guys. Like, I can't wait for y'all to get into this convo.
Yes, and yes, guys. So we're going to be touching on all things media, all things digital marketing. As you guys know, Donye is the founder, co-founder, and CEO of The Digital Footprint, which is a Black-owned creative marketing company that specializes in producing culturally relevant social media content and activations for brands looking to grow their media and their revenue. Okay, mm-hmm. So if you're trying to get that audience and you're trying to get that bag, call them. So today we're going to get into a few different kind of aspects. First, we want to know who Donye Taylor is. Like, how did you get your start in media? You know, who is Donye?
So, you know, I was just talking about this because I was like, wow, like, when it comes to, like, bios and about me's and stuff, I feel like nobody ever really talks about who they are as a person. They just talk about their title.
Yeah.
So it's so weird because I never really get asked, who am I? But I would say I'm just, like, a regular girl that is just always has, like, a knack for creativity or just creating things. So I got my start in digital media, I guess you could say, like, around, like, the MySpace era. Like, I was that girl that was doing everybody's MySpace pages.
Okay.
That was me.
You had the music popping, the pictures.
Yes, I was the one
hiding,
like,
the friends, all
that. Yes. I remember I used to hide my song because I did not, like, I used to always put the low-key songs on there. Like, Coldplay, MGMT's nah. Y'all ain't gonna know my... Yeah, so I used to have my profile. I mean, I used to have my picture. Not my picture, I'm sorry. Hide the music. I would do all people's MySpace themes, things like that. So that was, like, when I first started. That was in, like, sixth or seventh grade.
Yeah.
Then when I got to high school, my friend Darrell, so he had this wallpaper on his phone, and it was, like, custom, and I had never seen anything like that before, and I was just like, ooh, like, how did you make it? Because I like how it looked. And I was one of those people, I would change my wallpaper all the time.
Really?
So he was like, oh, like, I made it on Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Photoshop? I never even heard of Photoshop.
Yes.
So he told me, like, oh, yeah, like, I made this, da-da-da-da-da. So then from there, I did research. I was like, ooh, what's Photoshop? I downloaded it. And I think it was like a week. Not even a week, maybe like a couple of days later, I made my own wallpaper and I put it on my phone. I showed him. Mind you, Darrell was in, like, I think he was a junior or a senior. So he was older than me. I was a freshman.
Okay.
He was older. And that's how I got started with Photoshop. And then from there, I was just always like, okay, I was always looking at stuff and being like, okay, I want to do that, but in my own way. And I just found, like, tutorials to kind of teach me how to do what I wanted to do. And then from there, it was just history.
It was just like, I'm now creating my own agency.
Yeah, and then so, but even at that point, I wasn't even thinking about monetizing it.
Yeah.
It was just like a hobby.
A passion. Or so, even a hobby,
yeah. Yeah, it was more so just like a hobby. So, like, I would make stuff for myself. I would make stuff for my friends, but I never thought to be like, hey, I'm going to charge for this. Until I got to college.
Yeah, so, I want to know about that switch where you're like, I need that bag.
So I remember I was in the library and I was doing my resume. And I hated, like, I used to do my resume on Microsoft Word and I was just like, oh, I hate this. This is so ugly. It's so boring. I feel like me submitting this without being a person, I look like everybody else and
true.
I'm not.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, like, let me just make my own resume on Photoshop. And I did. So while I'm in a library, you know, like, in a college library, you can see other people's computers, kind of.
Yeah.
So I was doing my resume and this person next to me was like, yo, like, that's your resume? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, like, can you make mine? And I'm like, okay, yeah. I guess. So I made his resume, and he was like, oh, like, how much do you charge? Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I think I said something stupid, like $10, $15. I don't know. You know, in college.
It's always like, when you start a business in college or anything, I feel like the first number everybody goes to is $10.
Because it's like.
It's always $10.
It's humble to the point where it's like, okay, somebody's not about to not pay it. Yeah. And it's also respected. And then it's like college, you know. Cash is gold because all you got is that meal card.
Yeah, when you get some cash.
Right. So I did it for $10, whatever the price was. I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
And then he liked it. And then, like, he just started telling his friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, so then I just became, like, the resume girl. Even still to this day.
People still
email me and DM me, like, hey, Donnie, do you still do resumes?
Do you? Because I...
No.
Now that I think about it.
Like, even to this day. And it was something that I never really, like, advertised that mm-hmm. much. Like, it was just kind of, like, word of mouth.
Yeah.
So then, like, from there, I went into doing, like, the party flyers for the parties at school.
Oh, okay.
So
that was the come up.
Yes. Yeah, so, but the thing is, I wasn't even, I was so not on the whole entrepreneurial tip that I wasn't even like charging. I was just like, okay, if you can just get me and my friends into the party for free,
because
we was always like deep.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, I'm thinking six people in for free is like $65, $70. So
true.
I'm
before
thinking.
Before 10.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, this is a good bargain.
Yeah.
So that was that. I was doing that for about a few years. Then this is how things really took off.
Okay.
So Raymond had just got this job at this company, and he was doing marketing.
And Raymond's your partner.
Yes, Raymond's my partner now. Okay. Yes. So Raymond was doing marketing. He was doing like influencer marketing, planning events, like mm-hmm. all of this stuff. And he used to invite me to the events that he would put on
mm-hmm.
for this company. So I would go, and then I was just like meeting people. And then, you know, like, he was telling people at his job, like, oh, yeah, like, Donnie's dope. Mind you, I'm in college.
Yeah.
And I had, like, a regular job. And Raymond was always like, yo, F this. Like, you need to be doing this. Like, F working at a desk.
Hey,
like,
hey, shout out to the guys that'll be like, uh-uh.
Shout
uh-uh.
out to the people in your circle that believe in you before you even believe in yourself.
Say it again.
Shout out to the people in your circle that believe in you before you believe in yourself. Yes. So... He used to invite me to all the events. Mm-hmm. I would go, and I had just always had a knack for just everything, like taking pictures,
social
media. Like, I've just really, like, you know how people say, oh, I'm a multifaceted creative. Like, no, I am
a multifaceted
creative.
I feel like what was the way you described yourself the last podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. You said, like, if it's digital, I do it. Like, it's something like
it's like, I said it's not about, like, what I do. It's, like, what I don't do.
Yes, what
I
you
do
don't do.
So
yes.
much.
What do I not do?
I don't
that energy.
Do... Dang, I don't even know.
energy.
Dang, I don't know how to cornrow. That's it.
Can't do hair.
But, like, anything else? Actually, you know what? I did do hair when I was in college.
You see?
I had, like, a whole hair page. It's called Hairndipity. Like, Serendipity.
Weird, like, actually.
Yeah, like, I did, like, YouTube, too. I had, like... Like, two of my videos got, like, 200,000 views.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait, so you do hair? Okay,
yes.
No, what?
Like, I know how to, like, silk press, twist. Yeah, I'm the girl when it comes to,
like... don't play with me. Play with your kids.
Yes. So I started going to the event, and Raymond was, like, you know, connecting me with the people, like, the decision makers that were there. So next thing you know, they call me into a meeting mm-hmm. at the job, because I'm always like, oh, well... Like, my natural instinct is to just... offer suggestions. Like, if I think something could be done better,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, oh, I think it would be better if you did this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm talking to, like, the director of marketing,
mm-hmm.
You know, pitching out, like, my ideas. Like, oh, you got... Showing them different Instagrams. Like, this is what y'all stuff could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I got offered a job on the spot.
Really?
Like, mind you, I'm in school full-time.
Yes.
So I was like, ah, like, it's going to have to be part-time. So I accepted the position. So I work 3 days out the week from 8 to 5, So like when I did my schedule for the next year, I made it around my job.
Yeah. So that was where you were. Because I think one thing that we haven't touched is that you were actually in school for nothing related to media or marketing.
Nothing
at
all.
Yeah.
So I went to school. Initially, I wanted to do something with art, but I wanted to be an art teacher. But, you know, I was like a first generation entrepreneur. Not even entrepreneur. I was first generation creative in my family.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knew how to monetize anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then, like, just out of all my friends, too. So it was, like, a lack of resources that made that dream seem possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't know. Like, I didn't even know what a creative consultant was.
Mm.
I didn't know that companies were hiring people like me to execute campaigns. I just thought that was just so far-fetched. So I went to school, and, like, after one semester, I changed my major. And it was just like, okay. Because at the end of the day, I am kind of nerdy. I do like health, and I was inspired to go into healthcare management because I had this dream of, like, opening a nursing home.
Yeah.
Because my grandmother was in a nursing home, and I was just like, me thinking about how things could be better. I'm like, I would love to just have my own because the way that they're treating people in here is just not right. So I didn't go to school for anything dealing with healthcare. I mean, anything dealing with marketing or graphic design. I went to school for healthcare management. So I'm there about like a year and a half. So I was in charge of, like, assisting with the social media, getting models, because it was like it was kind of like a DTLR, kind of, so to speak. So I would, you know, try to scout new models, come up with different, like, concepts for the campaigns, come up with, like, event ideation.
Mm-hmm.
So while, mind you, Raymond's there too.
Yeah.
So me and Raymond are actually working together on a lot of these things.
Before.
Yeah.
This was like prophecy.
Yeah. So I think this was like 2015, 2014. So, and while we were there, it was so many things that we wanted to do that we couldn't do because we weren't getting the green light from the
higher ups.
So, and that's when, like, the idea kind of birthed, like, you know what, we make a good team. We already know each other's strengths and weaknesses, because, like, where I'm strong at, Raymond is weak, and where Raymond's weak, I'm strong. So like, that's like the perfect
blend.
Combo.
Yeah,
so that's how that started, with the digital footprint, and then the rest is like
history,
kind of been history. But yeah, but that's kind
of
like
the
my
start.
Yeah, like
the, so
like
do
my
you
journey.
Consider it an agency?
You know what, I hate the word agency.
Yeah,
because I'm on like this whole trip right now where I just really just don't like titles.
Yeah,
like, and
why?
Well, so I had
time,
it was a conversation that I was having with Raymond. Like, if you can't tell by now, Raymond's such a big inspiration to me. He's always pushing me, and
which
just
is
always
why you need a partner that's gonna push you.
Yes. So I was in New York, and this could lead into the Pierre Ma show, because I was having like a mini identity crisis.
Okay.
Because it's like I'm this creative, but it was like, I'm not into fashion. What am I, like, why am I at a fashion show? Like, I'm not into fashion. How did I get here?
Yeah.
And then I was around a lot of people that were introducing themselves as, oh, I do this. And it was just that. It was just that, like, oh, like, I'm a stylist. I'm a photographer. I'm a this. So
you'll get a lot of that.
Yeah, so I remember calling Raymond. I was like, what am I? Like, I don't know what to say to people when I introduce myself, because I don't want to say, oh, well, I'm a creative director, I'm a digital strategist, I'm a this, I'm a that, because it's like, I am all of those things, but when you say that, it sounds like you're just all over the place.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do I say? Like, and then I was, so like, even just paired with that, like on my Instagram, I'm like, what do I write?
Yeah.
What do I write? And then I remember, like, this conversation will stick with me forever, and it really changed my whole perspective on titles. Like, his response was, yo, F a title. Like, a title is a broke person's mindset. Like, if you're worried on titles, well, worried about titles, then that's just like you're limiting yourself. He was like, you know who worried about titles? Sales associates, sales managers. Like, those are the people who care about titles.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool, like, while they're there, but you're past a title. He was like, think about all the people that you look up to. like...
They have so many titles.
Not even titles, but he was just like, but can I say the N-word?
Yeah, sure, why not?
He was like, because it's like, I look up to Emery Jones, yeah. I look up to Kanye West. He was like, what's Emery Jones' title? Nobody know. He's just that nigga. That's his title. He was like, Karen Civil. People still don't know what she do, but Karen Civil is that.
She does everything.
Yeah. And then he was just like, do you think that those people are like thinking like, oh, what's my title? Yeah. He was like, no.
Wow, that's a word.
He was like, forget that. Like, yeah. So yeah. It just made me take that same mindset because I was also having that same kind of like identity crisis with the digital footprint.
Yeah, like what are we?
And it was like, because typically an agency, they don't do what we do. Mm-hmm. Like an agency does not have supporters.
Yeah.
They just have clients. An agency true. Does not have fans.
You guys got.
And
I'm a fan.
Yeah, so when we were like redoing the site and I was like working with him to write the bio, it clicked. I was like, you know what? Agency, this doesn't sound like us. Like, mm-hmm. The Digital Footprint is an agency. Like, what? I was like, no, we're honestly just like a company. We're really just an organization. We're really a brand.
Yeah.
We're not just an agency.
Yeah.
So it's like that one conversation led to that. So and it was perfect timing because we were rebranding. It was like, okay, we don't just do websites, we don't just do, you know, like logos, we also do creative direction.
Yeah.
We also can, you know, partner with brands and ideate events that are impactful for the community.
Mm.
Agencies are not doing that.
Nope.
And
yeah.
it made so much sense.
Well, they're pulling in so many people to do so many different jobs.
Yeah, yes, and I think that's why, like, it made sense as to why we were kind of having like a mini identity crisis.
Yeah.
Because it was like the box that we were trying to put ourselves in, we just didn't fit. Like, it's not a box.
Yeah.
Like, we're really just cool, and we know how to do, like, we can make something that's not cool,
mm-hmm.
cool. We can make something that's not relevant, relevant.
Yeah.
That's not a typical agency. That's a brand. Like, so, but that's how that came about. So that's why I'm like on like this whole trip where it's like, I don't really care about the title.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you can just say, like, anybody,
all the stuff you do.
Anybody can go on Instagram and say, I'm a creative director.
Yeah.
And they could not be.
Yeah, that's true.
You could just lie. And it's more so about the work that you put out.
In, yep.
That is what I want to see. I want to see your impact, not your influence. I don't really care about, you know, what you say you are.
No, that's really good because I feel like it is something that, it's something that I also deal with because, you know, I do a bunch of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I've literally have recently been trying to figure out, like, yo, what do I call myself?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I call myself a host? Do I call myself on-air talent? Do I call myself a podcaster? I create digital content. Am I a digital content creator? Like,
I
do videos. I edit. Am I a videographer? Like, there's so many different things that I do. And I'm like, I don't know what to call myself. And I feel like this kind of just affirmed to me. Like this, I mean, you don't even understand. Like, it's just, like, I had anxiety about it. That, like, you know when you have hidden anxiety?
Yes, it like flares up out of nowhere. And it's just like, ah, I feel like I cannot do anything else until I close this tab.
Yeah, no, literally.
But, and then it doesn't make it any better that a lot of these titles are oversaturated.
Oh, goodness.
Like, everybody's saying, oh, I'm a digital strategist because we're millennials and we all grew up in the digital age. So we kind of all are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
if you're a strategist in this like era, you are a digital strategist.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wouldn't even get hung up on that.
Yeah.
Because it's like the more anxiety you give to it, the more anxiety you're going to have. So like when I think about it, it's like, yo, I'm Donye. I'm just an all around creative.
Mm-hmm.
I make it happen.
I make it happen.
Like, when it comes to that creative stuff, I make it happen.
No, literally.
Period.
Dang, that's lit. That's energy. I'm telling you, yo. Because, like, I'm just like, oh, what do I do? What is my title? And it's just like, nah, I do it all. What do you need me to do? Put me there. I'll kill it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's energy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about being a black woman in media.
Mm.
Do you ever feel like you're shorted, you're slighted, you're not taken seriously, people playing with you?
All the time, literally.
Oh,
it's okay. First of all, I don't even know where to start. and you know, I don't really like talking about it because I don't like making it seem like I'm throwing a pity party for myself.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who's just like, okay,
tough through it.
I need to find solutions.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the problem. I just want to talk about the solutions. Mm-hmm. But it's been multiple times where, you know, I mean, like, you came to DigiDay, so you heard my response about the whole, like, when guys are just trying to
go smack
at me, and it makes me feel like, dang, I can't dress a certain way. So that's one aspect of it. I feel like within the digital media space and just media and creativity in general, I feel like you have to look a certain way. Like, if you look more creative, you seem more creative. But it's
that's
like...
That's true. That's, like, so fake.
That doesn't matter.
I my boyfriend calls it fake deep. They be like, yo, they're so fake,
fake
deep.
Woke. Fake deep. Fake woke. Yo, like, yeah, fake hipster.
Yeah.
Like, so that I kind of struggle with. When it comes to, like, getting paid... I mean, but we already know it's, like, a gender gap.
Yeah.
But... that's just something that I know that, like, time will change. But what I really want to speak on is just the lack of representation.
Yeah.
And it's been really getting under my skin lately because it's like, you feel like women can only do certain jobs. Like, I see a lot of women doing, you know, like, illustration.
Yeah.
I see that, like, a lot of black women in that field.
Yeah.
And but it's like the ideas that we have, we can be the creative director.
Okay.
We can be the consultant.
Yeah.
But a lot of like the decision making roles are men.
Man, that's true.
And
that's true.
When you're around a lot of men, you don't think about women. So it's like the more you get up to the top, you see that it's more so like, dad, I'm the only woman here.
Yeah.
Dad.
Yeah.
And I remember recently they had announced, what was it? It was some, like, liquor brand, but they announced that, like, they had announced, I mean, not announced, they named all of these men in the DMV area, like, ambassadors of this liquor company. And I was looking at the photo, and I'm like, so do women not drink liquor? And I'm like, honestly, if you really want to get technical, men buy the drinks for the women, and like women is what kind of push
the
whole
drink,
it's like the whole Meg Thee Stallion driving the boat.
Yeah,
that is a woman.
Yeah,
and it's like
you saw Ducey hopped on that boat real quick.
Yeah, I mean, but good for them.
Yeah,
good for them because that was well deserved.
Yeah,
but
genius,
look, just things like that I look at and I just can't help but to notice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is there no women?
Yeah,
and I get it. I know how it worked because I know that the people that were in, all they did was just hit up their friends.
Their friends, like, to get those jobs.
But it's
yeah.
like, they're not friends with women like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Or they just don't take the women friends that they have in those fields seriously.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating. But
it's very frustrating. So I see it a lot. And I'm just like, that's why I don't really try to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to know that, like, okay, when I get on.
Yeah, you're going to put a bunch of women on.
Yeah.
Do you feel like TDF will have, and when I say TDF, I mean the digital footprint.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you guys will have a lot more black women on your staff as
mm-hmm.
opposed to other brands?
Yeah, so we actually just hired somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Please forgive me, but when it comes to like politically correct things,
mm-hmm.
I'm not that educated. So if I offend somebody by saying this, I'm sorry. But
I'm like,
she's,
what is she about to say?
You know what? She's of Spanish descent.
Okay.
So I always get confused whether
like
it's if I say Hispanic or Latino.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
she's
yeah.
of Spanish descent.
Okay, there you
yes.
go.
Yes. Actually, no. I don't even know
descent.
If that's
yeah,
right because Spanish, saying that, she, I don't think she's from Spain.
Well, where is she from?
I think she's from Brazil.
Okay.
I think she's from Brazil.
Okay.
But I do know that she identifies with the Latino Spanish community.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yes, and she's a woman.
Okay.
But
she's a woman of color.
Yeah, she's a woman of color.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so yeah, definitely in the future I love black women. I know we just hired a black woman to redo like our whole back end.
Okay.
Like our whole like systems
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
Like that's her specialty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and then the person that we got for the rebrand, like that animation, that was a black guy.
Oh, okay.
So we're very intentional with
heavy on the B black.
Yes.
Hiring
yes.
black. Yeah.
Artists yes. So. So yeah.
Yeah. No,
so I definitely feel like the rate that we're going, we're definitely going to work with, you
people
know,
color.
Other people of color
yeah,
within the future.
Yeah, giving them a shot. And you gave me a shot. You here?
I'm here. Period.
So
yes.
My next question was your hashtags.
Oh, okay.
So Donye has these hashtags. I don't know if you guys have seen.
Make sure you guys. Doing them.
Well, Olive, why you gotta stop doing them?
No, I said I kind of stopped doing it a little bit.
No, you haven't. You just did a Yeezy's location the other
day. I did.
Yeah.
I did do it in Boston. Yes, you're right.
Okay. So Donye has these hashtags. One, my favorite is the hashtag I would like to see it, where she kind of curate different ideas that you think of that would work for different brands, like Instagram or Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have Yeezy's location, where you basically show different locations around the city, sometimes around the world,
mm-hmm.
of places that people can go and, I guess, shoot creative content or study or create creative
It's just
content.
A nice vibe.
Yeah, vibe.
Places that are just
location.
A nice vibe, yes.
So how did you get started in these? Like, how did you start with I Would Like to See It, and then how did you get into Yeezy's location?
So the I Would Like to See It, that came about because I was like, okay, how can I show how my brain works outside of just graphic design?
Yeah.
Like, outside of just saying, oh, like, this is a logo I made, or this looks pretty. Like, how can I show the... How can I show that I know how to problem solve, or I know how to think outside the box?
Yeah.
So, again, me going back to me always thinking of suggestions, just ways to do something differently, it was like, I just always would say, like, man, I wish they had this. Like, that would be so lit. And then I started saying, I would like to see it to, you know, like, my friends, because, like, that meme was so powerful. I would like to see it. I would like to see it. So I kind of just blended the digital part with, like, Black Twitter to combine it. So that's how I got the name of the hashtag. But I had stopped doing it because I felt like brands were just looking at it and then just, like, not hitting me up. Because it's like, I know y'all see it. And, again, I don't really do anything with intention. So, like, yeah, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this so I can show how my brain works. But... I would love to see. I would like to see it.
I would like to see the coin.
Yes, I would like to see the coin. I would like to see me getting flown out to consult with your staff.
Yeah.
Things like that. So I looked at it as like a way of, okay, I feel like people know where my brain can go. I'm not about to give anybody no more free ideas.
Yes.
So that's why I stopped that. Because I have a whole bunch. I have a whole bunch of I would like to see it stashed away.
That stuff is so inspiring.
I may drop it.
Maybe just like once every 2 months, please.
Yeah.
Like, I see, I'm like, this girl's brain is like insane. You know,
thank
I always
you.
Say I'm like, you're a genius.
Thank you.
Yeah, like, my personal favorite is the I Would Like to See It. And so I would love to see it.
I would
so
love to see more.
I would love to see more of the I Would Love to See hashtag I Would Love to See. So make sure you guys check out Donye's hashtag I Would
I
Love to See.
I archive like two.
Did you really?
I'm going to archive it so that y'all can.
You're really unruly. Like,
I know.
You laugh about it.
I don't care. I don't. I'd be like, you know what? Screw these brats and these people.
I'm so weak.
But I'm going to archive it so that if y'all listening, y'all could go back and be like, okay, I would like to see what she's talking about.
Right.
So the Yeezy's location started, and this is just going into like, me trying to figure out how to channel all of the different things that are in me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I don't want to just box myself in as this person who can only post this type of content.
Yeah.
I don't want it to just be me and then a logo.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be like more lifestyle. So the Yeezy's locations was because I would always snap places and people would be like, where is this? Where is this? Because I like going to places that are... not known.
Yes.
Even with our events that we do, we always
Capital
pick
One, that
locations that are not saturated. Like, you ever just get a invite somewhere and you look at the address and you suck your teeth like, I know where this is.
That's a mood. That
like,
is a literal
this
mood.
At the okay. So like, when we pick places for our events, we don't want the suck your teeth effect.
Yeah.
So and basically, like, any place that is, like, a Yeezy's location, it's, like, it's Donye approved. Like...
pull up.
Yes. That means that it's a vibe. You could get work done. And I kind of go into the aspects of that location. So it's, like, okay, parking is good.
Yeah.
Or I would say parking is bad, so I would suggest you take an Uber.
Yeah.
But the spots are, like, really, really, really low-key. That is just, like, a vibe. That place that, like, you is super Instagrammable. Like, as soon as you walk in, you just want to take a picture.
Mm.
So that's what Yeezy's locations is, and that's how it kind of started. Because I was always snapping places, and people were like, oh, my God,
where is this?
Where
you at? Where
yeah, so I would love to partner with, like, Airbnb or Marriott.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
or like a city, and just do like Yeezy's locations across the city.
Yeah.
That is like in the future.
So
but
I think a question that maybe people may have is, how do you go about, you've worked with some major brands. I know you've worked with Sony, you've worked with Nike, you've worked with Revolt, you've worked with, is it Courvoisier?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Courvoisier. You've worked with all these brands. How do you go about pitching yourself to brands?
I ain't gonna lie, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Because what you have to deal with is like all the other people that they've worked with before,
yeah,
or the people that's already in their network.
Okay.
So you gotta like go through like the rings of fire.
Mm.
And it's hard. It's kind of like shooting your, it's like sliding in somebody's DMs.
That's true.
It's like you can start talking to somebody, you think they like you, and then they can just ghost you.
That's true.
Like,
wow.
That's what it is. It's
pitch,
like,
yeah.
It's like you're single and you're looking for a relationship.
Oh,
so you're going on a lot of dates, and you don't know if that, like, if this meal that I'm buying, is this going to be in vain?
Yeah.
Are they going to just try to be like a gold digger or suck me dry of all I got? So that's the best way that I can describe it. But it's like when you do find a match,
yeah,
it's very fulfilling.
It is different.
Yes.
Oh,
so that's the best way I could describe it.
What are your top two brands that you've ever worked with, or your top two partnerships that you've ever done?
Recently, the Capital One one.
Okay, yeah, that was big.
I feel like that was just one of those events. You just had to be there.
Yeah.
Like,
it
was so... So it was so impactful, like the knowledge that people got, just the fact that, and what also stood out was, this is when I realized, yo, we're really a brand because we're not even into finance.
Yeah.
Like, we're not a financial brand. We're a creative brand.
Yeah.
And it's like the fact that we could promote something with no ads, no type of, you know, like big posts from a top influencer. We really just put it out, me and Raymond, with our following.
Yeah.
And we had a line wrapped around a bank.
I saw it on the Insta story.
A line wrapped around a bank.
I saw it.
And it was, so that was probably like my favorite, one of my favorite events to date. Project, I will say the one that we did with, the travel agency in Honduras.
Okay.
Only because it was a blend.
That fire picture. In
the blazer. Yes, with the Oh wait, no,
that was
not that one. That was so, Roatan. That was last year. That was last summer.
Mm-hmm.
But we got brought on to do the content for
an artist, or was it?
It was a whole bunch of different influencers.
Really?
It was like we had the real Tarzan there, Jenna Frumes. I think that's how you say your last name. It was a whole bunch of people, and the whole goal was to basically just change the face of Black travel and to encourage people to want to travel to Honduras. Like, Honduras is not one of those places that you think...
It's not a destination place.
Yeah, but, in you know, like, with Trump being in office, a lot of people think that these countries like Honduras are very dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that hurts their economy.
That's
so
true.
We went and we shot some really dope content of all the things that Honduras has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good turnout for, you know, the travel agency. They had so many trips booked, even before we left.
Really? People
were
like, I'm going to Honduras.
Yes.
Now I ain't in Honduras, I'm going to Honduras.
Yes, it was somebody that actually just hit up Raymond, I think, like, a couple of weeks ago. It was like, yo, I went to Honduras because I saw you swim with jaguars.
Mm.
So, but it was like, and then on top of that, we gave back, like, we always like giving back. Like,
I
we are really
those pictures.
Yeah, so we went to like a school.
Mm-hmm.
We had people like donate like books and stuff, and it's like their schools, oh my god, like they have to use the bathroom outside. Like it's crazy. But I think that was one of the most fulfilling and rewarding projects that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Just as far as like our, like it added to our portfolio in a crazy way. We did so much bomb content. Shout out to Rue. Kill all those videos and all the photos.
That's your guys' videographer and photographer.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Rue, yeah. Rue's the man.
Rue's the man.
Yes. Rue took off. Rue has like...
left the building.
Yes. But yeah, shout out to Rue. He definitely, you know, paved the way.
What is like... we're going to wrap it up here, but what is some advice that you would give to, I guess, people that are interested in getting into, like, the digital marketing field, it being so saturated and, like, ways to just stick out as much as the digital footprint has, you know, y'all... Y'all have arrived, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all here, and you guys are different. And I feel like that's what sets you guys apart from everyone else, is that it's a different vibe. It feels like my brothers and my sister that want to help me. It doesn't feel like some far off, you know, company or agency or brand that I can't reach, you know what I mean? What are some tips that you've given to people that are looking to either start a brand or just get into, because you guys kind of like do PR as well, like
kind of, yeah.
Like, just what advice would you give to somebody who says, I want to be like you, Danye?
You gotta have good intentions.
Yeah,
like I feel like people get that vibe from us because that's the vibe that we give off, and it's genuine. Like, we're always down to help people, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like a lot of people, like, when we first started it, we started it to be like, you know what? It's so many people out here that are doing things the wrong way. If we could just get up in it, we could help them out.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, okay, we want to be...
make money, be millionaires.
We want to be the... we want to be like the... I don't even know. Like, that's how my mind... It doesn't go there. But it's like, we didn't set out to be like these, like, marketing gorillas. I was just like, oh, we here. Like, we taking over. It was just like, we want to leave our mark. We want to leave our mark on people. We want to leave our mark in this world. However that looks, that's how it looks. But that was our intention. So, and I see a lot of people going into things because they want to be cool.
Yeah.
Like, having a brand is going to make you cool.
Mm.
So don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't, yeah, don't get a brand.
It's just not in you.
Don't get a brand to put it in your bio to say you're the CEO. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. That's really what I would say. I don't really have, like, no cliche advice.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you already know the cliche advice. Mm-hmm. But really, really think about your mission.
Yeah.
Think about the mission. Don't put so much thought into the name.
Yeah.
Put the thought into the mission. How am I going to impact people? How is my work going to make people's lives better?
Yeah.
Not how is this going to make me look cool?
Yeah.
Don't think like that. Don't think like that.
I do have another question for you.
Okay.
I kind of want to hear the horror stories in media.
Mm.
You don't have to tell me names. You don't have to tell me brands. You don't have to say anything. I just want to know, like, what is the, I guess, because, you know, you got some tough clients.
Mm-hmm.
What is, like, one of the worst stories that you can, like, loosely get into as far as, like, a digital agency's nightmare?
Mm. Okay, so we got hired to do this video shoot, right? Mind you, it was this, like, the type of production that they wanted, I knew that I needed to outsource.
Okay.
So I found this guy, and I was like, okay, like, the work that I saw was amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is who I want. This was, like, my first time really just doing, like, everything. Like, I was doing, like, the casting, the video treatment, booking the locations, like, getting the models, like, everything.
Yeah, literally.
Everything. So the treatment was fire. Everything was fire. Everything was going to plan except for the videographer.
Mm-hmm.
So the videographer, long story short, mind you, I'm on set, so I'm seeing what he's filming. But when I get that first preview back, I'm like, what is this?
This ain't the vision.
What is this? Now, mind you, I'm in the middle because I was hired by a record company to produce this video for their artists.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm like, I cannot show them what I just got to my phone. It's no way. But then, mind you, it's so crazy because it's like, when it comes to video, you can't, like, you can't go back and refilm.
Yeah.
And then everything. I was looking. So what made it worse, I was like, wait a second. I was there. So how is what I'm seeing not what I was experiencing?
Yo, I'm so weak.
Oh, my God. So long story short, okay, this is what I found out. Mm-hmm. I found out that he was a fraud. The videos that he was...
saying he did?
The videos that he was posting, he was not editing them.
Oh.
He was not shooting them. I feel like he had somebody...
What was he doing?
I feel like he had an extra team. That was the only logical explanation.
Oh.
because what I got didn't look like anything. Big, really. And that really pissed me off because it's like, why do people feel like they can play with me? What am I giving off that makes you feel like, you know what? She'll let this slide.
I'm
no.
I'm going to BS her.
Yo, it blew me, but that was like, long story short, we fixed it, but it was very, it was unexpected. And that's when it's like, wow, it's only so much you can control.
And dang, that sounds like literally, especially when it's not even like, because when the content is coming to you, it's like, okay, I can be mad. But when you have to report back to somebody.
Bruh.
Oh, no, I would have had a, I mean, my anxiety would have been through the roof.
Bruh.
I would have had to fast. I would have had to just do, I mean, I don't even know what I would have done.
Like, I had to get the raw footage and
edit.
Give
it to another videographer. Mm-hmm. You edited it yourself?
No.
You gave it to another?
But I gave very strict directions.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. I was so specific.
Yeah. I mean, because literally you were there.
I had a treatment. I literally had the shot list.
Really?
But I'm so glad that happened early into our career because.
Now you guys vet everyone.
That and I know how to prevent that.
Okay.
Some things you don't. No, like you don't learn until it happens. Mm. So it's a lot of things that I'm so grateful that happened early when it was less at risk.
Yeah.
Because that, it don't matter now.
Yeah. You're like, that's not happening.
But I got the experience.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm so weak. Dang, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes, you're welcome.
But I guess, what do I want to do? I want you to tell everyone, like, one sentence about the digital footprint and then where they can find TDF as well as you and Ray because he is another co-founder and all that. Just let us know your last words about who you are and what you do.
So the digital footprint, we're not a creative agency, we're a creative brand.
Period.
We do not follow footsteps. We create footprints, meaning that, you know, we're everything that we do is innovative. It's a 90% chance that what we do is never before seen. Our approach is just very different. If you're looking for different, we're the people to go to. If you're looking to copy somebody, you're looking to do something like somebody else, don't come to us.
Don't
come to us. Like, we pride ourselves on being fresh, innovative, all of those things. You can find us at the Digital Footprint. And then the website is thedigitalfootprint.co. Anything you want to know, you can find on there. As far as me, my at is Donye Taylor, D-O-N-Y-E. And I just want to say, never let your inner child grow up. Mm. Keep your inner child young as long as you can.
Yeah.
That inner child is going to be the source of your creativity, the source of you being pure. Yes. Also, Raymond is the person I was talking about 80% of this podcast. he's my partner. He's my best friend. You can find him at Ray and Knight. So RayAndNite. Mm-hmm. And Ray just dropped a book not too long ago about how he pays his student loans off. So if y'all that's want like to cop to that, ears. It's an ebook. It's a pretty good ebook. It's not written like a regular ebook. I love it. He has that available for purchase. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna see if I can give Mo a special discount code.
Please,
you know what I'm saying?
Because if you guys trying to get the tea, get
you know
the
what
tip,
I'm saying? So
get that, because we all trying to be debt free. You hear me?
Yes. So yeah, it was as a pleasure.
Oh,
always,
thank
always
you.
A pleasure,
thank you,
and I'm so glad that I got to share this side of me.
Yes. So we already know Danya don't play with posting her boo on social media, but today we got all the tea as far as digital marketing, her brand, the digital footprint. Thank you so much for sharing with us, Danya, and spilling all this tea because, you know, we was getting some tea today, okay?
Yes.
Make sure you guys follow me at Modiga as well as the at A Convo with Mo page on Instagram. Follow, subscribe. What is it? I think, I don't even know. It's everything.
Follow, subscribe, comment, repost, share.
Leave reviews. You guys know I love your reviews, so leave reviews. That is it, y'all. Make sure y'all follow me, your girl Mo Diggs. And we are wrapping it up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.